Welcome to the Swedish Innovation Podcast, where we export Swedish unicorness.
No buzzwords, just real-life stories with Sweden's most innovative thinkers and doers. A podcast made by me, Sandra Bourbon.
And me, Sara Hermansson. This episode will be all about batteries and circular economy today. With me, I have William Batty. He's the CEO and founder of Kling System. And Kling System works with how to get batteries more circular. Can you use them in other ways? And how can you recycle them? So I think Kling System is a great example of how to create more of a circular economy around batteries. As you know already, me, Sara, is really interested in batteries and have worked with it for a long time. So this is definitely going to be a bit of a nerdy episode regarding the battery industry. Let's get started. Hi, William, and welcome to Swedish Innovation Podcast. How are you doing?
Hi, Sara. Thank you very much. I'm doing well. I'm really well. Thank you. How are you?
Sounds good. I'm also doing well, thank you. And I'm very excited about this interview with you that I get to do today. So I want to get started right away. What trend when it comes to innovation do you follow right now and keep your eyes on?
Apart from batteries and e-mobility, it's a good question. I don't know what I follow. I follow like the battery industry very closely
and e-mobility. Of course you do. Yes. And what would you say is the new things within batteries and e-mobility? I mean, for the ones that doesn't follow it, I guess you and me are so, you know, involved in it. So we know all the bits and pieces. But what would you say is up and coming right now or under discussion right now?
Well, there's many, let's say, parts of the value chain there is looked at. So it's, you know, more sustainable mining, more sustainable refining. How to use the batteries in the best application. Do we need so much energy in every electric vehicle, or can we have more kind of catered or designed battery systems so that it's, you know, designed for the application? How do we use the materials and energy in the best way? Just all the different type of applications that there are, like, you know, micro-mobility, scooters, EVs, and just a lot of trucks, grid scale. Swapping batteries, you know, high voltage charging, and then take back systems. How can we give them a second life? Recycling. Yeah, there's plenty too.
There's plenty to dig into. Yeah,
and there's so much innovation on all fronts.
It's very cool. It's definitely a new area for exploration in many senses. It's not just a battery in that sense.
No. Yeah. It's like a living thing. It ages, degrades, and then hopefully, if everything goes well, reincarnates into a new battery.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what we will talk more about today, because you're the CEO and founder of Kling Systems that works with batteries in many different ways, which we will go into very soon. But we want to know, like, so what's Kling Systems? How would you elevate their pitch, your own company?
So the necessary collection systems for getting batteries back from wherever they end up at end of life, when they reach end of life, is not really established. So what we're building is that collection system, getting batteries back to recycling or reuse or repurposing. So Kling is the place where used batteries go at end of life.
Mm-hmm. So you're kind of pant machine for batteries. So like in Sweden we have this return system that, like, every time you buy a soda bottle you need to pay an extra krona, and then you put the empty plastic bottle in the machine and you get back your krona. So that's a way for us to recycle soda bottles. And we were talking on that in the last episode when we talked about circular economy. And I guess what you're doing here is this machine for refunds for batteries then. Could we call it that?
Yes. There's one intrinsic difference, though. It's that when you have these pawn systems where you pay a crown in the beginning and then get it back, it's because the resource doesn't really have its own value. You're not getting paid to leave the plastic bottle or the used battery in this machine. But what if you were? Like, there is a lot of value in the materials, in the batteries, and in the remaining energy. So what we're doing is really working with the incentives of how do we enable owners of used batteries, which are usually car dismantlers and workshops and scrapyards and elsewhere, to sell their batteries, because there's a lot of value left in them. So rather than, you know, getting back a pawn that still doesn't exist, we enable them to sell them to professional buyers.
How does this cling system all start? I know, for example, did internship and master thesis at Northvolt, and then you were also CEO for Adecco, a company here in Sweden, and now you founded the cling systems. And for me, at least, you look pretty young. You're not in your 50s. I mean, how old are you, may I ask?
Yeah, I'm turning 27 in 2 days.
Cool. So it's pretty brave to found your company. I mean, only being around, what were you, 25 when you started it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How come you dared to do that? And how did it all start with Cling Systems? Why did you start it?
Well, this is a broad question. I'll try to dissect it into digestible pieces. And starting with, like, why I think it's fun. I've had this long list of ideas in my phone for like as long as I can remember. It's just growing and growing and growing. So having my own company has been an ambition for a long time. But starting Cling was organic. It wasn't a decision saying like, today I'm starting Cling, I'm jumping all other things. Let's go. But it grew organically. So after high school, I moved to Hawaii to study environmental science, because I wanted to do, use my life to somehow help the environment. And quite quickly realized that it's within energy, the energy system, where we can make most positive impact. And so I moved back to Sweden. I started studying mechanical engineering, did my, focused my master's on energy technologies. So I wanted to work with like renewables, solar and wind in any ways, and saw that they're pretty well developed, and the problem is how to integrate those intermittent energy sources into the electric grid. And so I kind of switched my interest toward energy storage, hydrogen batteries, whatever really that could hold energy. And so in parallel with those studies, I was at a project which is the biggest engineering competition for students in the world, where you design and you build and you race with a racing car. And in my third year in that project, I was part of co-founding the first electric racing team of Lund University. And then we had to design the battery system from the ground up. And that was the first foot into Northvolt, because the team there were kind enough to give us input and feedback on our design. So I got to Northvolt internship in 2019, and it was looking at how can Northvolt design the battery systems to make it easier to recycle. And it kind of drank the battery Kool-Aid. It was obvious batteries is the future, but it comes with a lot of problems, which is why Northvolt is just on an amazing track of building green batteries. So looked into recycling of batteries and saw that the biggest problem is really not the recycling processes. They work really well, and Northvolt has proved it over and over that we can use recycled material for new batteries. But the biggest problem is getting the batteries to recycling. Because where are the batteries? How do we get them to recycling? How do we get the right batteries to the right recycling? Because they all have different chemistries in them. And what if they have value left in terms of energy? How do we get the right batteries back to reuse and to repurposing and to recycling? And so after writing my thesis on the collection of used batteries to recycling at Northvolt, it became obvious that, well, this is the biggest problem. for circularity of batteries and making batteries green. It's how do we get them to recycling? And it was founded in May 2020, and I started. And then I had this, you know, 1 month at Adecco. It's a Fortune 500 company, but I was the CEO here in Sweden for 1 month. And after that, I started at Clayton, working there full time, and have since.
Cool. And I mean, when we go to this subject regarding recycling of battery, as you say, I mean, at Northvolt, and we talked that in previous episodes as well, we managed to find a process where you could kind of, you know, crush the batteries into bits and pieces and make the raw material back again, and you put it into the chemical process to do new batteries, right? But there's also a lot of ongoing discussions within, batteries that they should have a second life. So kind of you use it in a car first, and then when you don't think you have, range enough for the car, you could use the battery somewhere else where you don't have the same demand. Now, some people claim this is the way to go. Others would say there's no, reason to move around batteries that is already worn out. You should just crash them directly. What's your view on this? Is there a second life for a battery?
I love the question. And this is probably the biggest question in my mind at the moment. And I would say the biggest polarized discussion for the end of life industry is like, you have a battery there. Should we just use it? You know, there's some energy left. Let's squeeze it out. Or no, it has critical raw materials. Like, we have to get them to recycling. We cannot have it lying around. And my answer is some should go to recycling and some should go to reuse. You have the battery OEM perspective, Northvolt and the other battery producers. They argue batteries should go to recycling as fast as ever possible because we need to get access to the valuable resources that is necessary for building new batteries. And especially these days, you see the problems of having a few countries or one country controlling the supply chain of energy. And if we have, you know, China controlling 80-90% of the entire value chain of lithium-ion batteries, it's not good to have one country controlling that much. And recycling is a fantastic way to give access to the raw materials that is already picked up because it's out there in the batteries. And at the same time, the technologies for battery production is improving so much that we can use less material for the same type of energy or same amount. So when you look at recycling, people are also usually talking about, you know, we can reach 90%, 95% or close to 100% of recycling of these materials. But that's not true. You can reach many 100% because one old battery has the materials for many new batteries. So there's a really good argument for taking back the materials as fast as ever possible, democratizing really the production of energy storage. But on the other hand, we don't have those facilities scaled. We don't have them large enough to produce the battery grade material. So there's a bridge use here, which is second life. Because you have, you know, these massive battery systems. Take a Tesla, for example. There's actually huge amounts of energy in that. Why, if it's, you know, 80% or 75% or 50% of the energy left, why not use it? It's already produced. It's ready to go. Plug it in, almost. There's some engineering to do in between. But anyways, So there's great arguments on both sides.
Yeah, and I mean, what for the listeners out there who's not so battery nerdy as you and me, what would you describe as a typical second life application?
You take one battery from an electric vehicle, and you repurpose it by putting it in another application. And that could be residential energy storage, so that you can charge the battery with your solar power, for example.
So I guess that's the most typical example that you use it like an energy storage, like a microgrid in a summer cottage or in your house or something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, I think where it's actually going to make most sense long term is using the batteries in the electric grid. So you have these huge container-sized battery systems or many containers into one battery system that is backing up the electric grid, really using the batteries to their full potential, but also making it easier for renewables to integrate into the grid. And with these, you know, I think we all have experienced the high energy prices lately. It's due to many bottlenecks, and it's due to a big, you know, discrepancy between supply and demand, and batteries can become buffers and reduce that. So I think batteries will go to mostly grid.
Yeah, no, I think it sounds wise. And I mean, I hope there is some good with all this bad ongoing. First pandemic, crazy energy prices, and now the war. It's really terrible. But in one way, when I see this super expensive oil and gas prices and also pretty high energy prices on electricity, I just hope that batteries in grid get a more substantial role. No, and I think now it's finally a reason to have a battery. But because before, the batteries were pretty high in price and electricity was super cheap, and you could always count on it. We're so, how to say, blessed in Sweden with sustainable, cheap electricity. And we've been for such a long time. And I think now we're finally trying to learn and understand how electricity, one, is produced, two, is transported from where it's produced to where you use it, and how your consumption affects the prices, and what is kilowatt, what is effect, not only what is kilowatt hours. And I think we haven't learned that before in Sweden, right?
No, we haven't had to. It's been a fantastic system so far.
So what do you say, like, would it be like a secondhand market for these batteries? Like, I don't know, block it? Like, okay, my neighbor had a Tesla, the battery's worn out, I buy it from her? Or like, how would the actual transformation use? Is that where you come in handy? Or
Maybe that would be a good idea. There's some problems with it, however. One is that batteries are very large and, you know, potentially dangerous things with high voltage and so on. So, and the other part is that we need traceability. We need to know where batteries are and if they come to recycling eventually. For one reason, for just knowing where stuff is, so we can actually, you know, develop to deal with those batteries. But on the other hand, it's gonna come increasing regulatory forces claiming or kind of forcing everyone to better report on where batteries are and when they are recycled. So having these you know, customer to customer you know, marketplaces maybe doesn't really make sense. And on the other hand, your battery that you maybe have in your electric vehicle, you're not going to take it out yourself. It's going to be a repair workshop or a car dismantler or anyone similar. And so there's going to amass a lot of batteries at those places. And it's going to be a lot of different batteries that have been used differently with different chemistries and different sizes and with different potential second lives and values in them. So what's happening is that we see used batteries reaching end of life in a very, very fragmented ecosystem of car dismantlers and scrapyards. And these are usually not in the same country as where the car was first sold, because cars are exported. They're sold in second hand and in third hand. And if you just look to Sub-Saharan Africa, almost the entire fleet of vehicles are imported second-hand vehicles. So the electric vehicles are not going to reach end of life in Sweden or Norway or the Western Europe. It's a natural migration eastward and south. And so that's where the batteries are going to return as well. Mm-hmm. And how do we get those back?
And as you said also, it's a bit dangerous to just plug it out and give it to someone. I guess batteries itself, I mean, it's like a living thing and could be a bomb, I guess, potentially, if you don't use it the right way. So maybe that also constrains the, I mean, private person, secondhand market, just selling it between two people.
It's just not going to happen. It's 600 volts or 400 volts. And then the energy in those batteries is just massive. And it's no commercially available, you know, fire extinguishing systems out there that can deal with these type of fires. So it's going to burn until it and everything around it has burnt down. And that's not very good if you have it in a residential storage that is not and it's not built by professional repurposing companies.
Yeah. And I mean, okay, so I think we got the whole of like, what is cooling system, why is this needed and everything, but how does a business model look for a company like this? Because for me, it's a bit confusing, like, who is the customer here, who gives you revenue, and I mean, who sells, who buys, how does that work?
So batteries are starting to have value, or they have value at the end of life. So there are companies who repurpose the batteries, the ones giving them a second life, and they look to source batteries from where they are. And so they buy them via us. And the same thing as for recycling companies, looking for batteries to recycle. And they can source them via us as well. Mm-hmm. And what they do is that they pay for the batteries, and we take a commission on that. Mm. The entire idea of Kling from the beginning was, okay, how can we make the most impact? And we're doing everything we can, and I think we've come very, very far in aligning our business model with our business impact with the environmental impact. So we only earn when we move batteries to a circular system. Mm.
Yeah, and I know a big headache, at least for me, working with batteries for many years now, is the transportation of batteries. I mean, I have examples of having, like, engineers with PhD exams within cell chemistry, I mean, literally using 8 hours of their full workday to package batteries in the right way, you know, in a cardboard box, and then there's rules on how much... isolating materials it should be around and stuff. Mm. And, you know, it's a headache if you're a manager of these people. I mean, they usually have a pretty good salary because their competence is unique and they're doing, like, you know, DHL logistic things that should not be done probably by these type of brains. So, I mean, it feels like just getting batteries to move around is super complicated. I mean, is that also a reason for people not recycling batteries? Because you're not just allowed to ship a battery however you like, or?
Yes, super complicated. And actually, that was the initial idea for Kling back in 2019, was, and I was part of that team carrying batteries and packing them. And it took, like, you know, 30 minutes to pack one battery. Like, this is not scalable. Like, how can we, what are we going to do with millions of batteries? And so actually, on average, the logistic costs for recycling or repurposing can be more than 50% of the entire costs. And
so you say 50% of the cost of recycling a battery is the transportation?
Yeah, it can be that high. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And why? Many reasons. Shipping battery waste, if it's a waste, classified as waste, over international borders can take months. It can take 6 months to just have every country along the route. If you ship a battery from Sweden to Spain, for example, you have to notify every country between Sweden and Spain on that we're going to ship this hazardous waste. We're going to explain you exactly the route we're going to use. and everyone has to sign off and prepare and so on. So that takes months. And then we have to use these specialized boxes that is not standardized. All batteries have different kind of form factors. And just again, like, how, where are batteries? How do we get them back? It's how can we kind of bundle them or cluster them so we have more batteries per transportation?
Yeah, but can something be done here? I'm thinking, at least, I mean, within EU, I mean, we have the European Battery Alliance. Wouldn't it be reasonable to get some legislations to make it a bit easier? Or do you think it should be this complicated because batteries also can be dangerous? Or what's your view on this?
It should be easier to ship batteries within Europe, definitely, especially for recycling. It's very tricky today. It should also be, the entire kind of process should be digitized. Currently, everything is done by paper. You have these 30, 40 pages documents that you sign off and then you ship it everywhere. And everyone should have a copy and so on. But there is valid reasons for being quite protectionistic here. And we also see that now when EU is trying to reclassify lithium carbonate as hazardous waste or hazardous goods, which makes it much, much more difficult to export it outside of EU. And that kind of is a tool. It's a political tool to keep the raw materials here in Europe. So there are pros and cons with it being tricky to transport batteries. But yeah, for sure, it just must be easier. And what I think is that one of the biggest enablers of that is really just knowing where are the batteries.
And do we put trackers on new batteries today? Or like, will there always be like a dead mass? I know, I mean, in that motive at least, you talk a lot about having, you know, surveillance.
Passports
or getting data.
IoT, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it be valid to have some type of IoT solution for every battery? Since there's a lot of value.
Yeah, I agree. That would be great. And you see the Global Battery Alliance that is held by the World Economic Forum. They're now developing a battery passport that should be on every battery. And it's following the new battery regulations. I think there's a lot to do in terms of just knowing where the batteries are in real time. But I think actually on the biggest problem that I've read is actually GDPR. We cannot track batteries in real time because we know it belongs to a vehicle, and it belongs to a person.
Really?
And then you can mention, like, okay, it's gonna be more car sharing, more fleet ownership. No one's gonna own a car, but cars they live for 20 years. You're not gonna have a 20-year-old in your fleet. You sell off the fleet eventually.
Yeah.
And you sell it to, and then it's going to be exported and it's going to end up sent anywhere, anywhere, without any tracking. So,
yeah, no, definitely. I can see that. I mean, even if a battery is not a person is usually very close connected to a battery.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, at least, looking at Kling system, what would you say is your future challenges looking forward? What is coming for you?
We are just about to grow to 7 people in 2 weeks. I'm super excited. We've just onboarded our third developer. So the team is growing, and we had a dinner last night. It's just so much fun. I cannot be more excited for the next 12 months. This time last year, I was alone. I was alone all the way to May of last year. And we've come this far in 12 months, and I cannot be more excited for the next 12 months in actually going more into operations, coupling supply of used batteries wherever they are outside within Europe, and getting them to where they should make most sense so we can actually have a real impact. We've had a long 1.5 year kind of preparation period. We're now really excited to go and to actually move batteries and getting them to circularity.
Cool. I think it's super exciting. I really would like to have a follow-up episode in a year from now or something to see how it's going for you. It would be super
Me
cool.
Me too.
Yeah. And what would be your top tip for our listeners out there when it comes to innovation and starting your own company?
We started with a couple of accelerators. I think they are great to approach. We've been at Sting. It's a Stockholm-based accelerator. We sit now here at Norrsken, also Stockholm. It's a kind of a startup hub with a lot of resources, and they also had an accelerator. So that is great tools. Get yourself acquainted or some kind of mentorship with someone who's done it before, or has been in a similar situation. That would be a great tip. That's a great tip. Otherwise, it's just, okay, exhaust the purpose. Like, why are you doing this? You're going to be in for a very long, bumpy road. And you're going to question yourself, the idea, everyone around you, many, many times. So if you don't have a purpose of just knowing, I cannot do anything except for this, then maybe continue looking for what that is.
Hmm. Have you had that moment yet where you find yourself lying on the floor crying, wanting to give up?
No, not yet, but maybe sometime in the future.
Yeah, but then you have your why to look at.
Yeah, it's been a very long road. And I can't see myself doing anything else. This is where I make most use of my time.
Well, cool. It was very fun to talk to you, William. I'm always excited when I get to talk to other battery people. And I'm sure we have listeners out there who are as battery cringy as you and me. And if they're not, at least they learned something new, right?
Yeah, or just if you want to learn more, just reach out to...
Yeah.
I
How can people
stop.
Find you? Where can you find William and Kling Systems?
Klingsystems.com. I'm quite active on LinkedIn, at William Berg, the companies Super. As well. Yeah. Just email me at William@klingsystems.com.
Super. We will add that in the notes below so people can find you. Well, big Super. Thank you again, and the best of good luck for the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Bye, William.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you like what we're doing, remember to subscribe. And if you really like our podcast, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Remember, innovation is what makes the impossible possible, and it will all start with you.